Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It's the Final Four. Stock up for the weekend. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Start getting ready for the blue-white game in 2 weeks, too. You want a tailgate? Parking's free, admission's free. And also, don't forget, they have snacks, water, soda. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. The bags are right there at the register. And the pickle bar is second to none. I love the dill pickles and I love the barrel pickles. Love them. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I can assure you in no uncertain terms that when I come in for the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament on May 4th, the beverage supermarket is going to be on my list of places to go and restock myself. And I am in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And I started the show by saying we're going to transition from sad, the passing of George Curry at the age of 71, legendary coach, three-time National Coach of the Year, six, as Jennifer Wakeman just mentioned, six PIAA, AAA state championships, 455 wins. I thought the best comment I've heard, yeah, he says, think about the millions of dollars in scholarships that Berwick players received over the years. And he's played a role in that. And we're going to go from the sad and the tributes to George Curry, which are justified, to finishing out the week in the show on a happy note with the retirement of Mike the Mailman after 48 years. You're like, Mike the Mailman? If you have any connection to Penn State whatsoever, you know exactly who Mike the Mailman is. Whether you've gone to Thon, you've seen him. If you've seen him, he's been the honorary grand marshal of the homecoming parade. I mean, Mike the Mailman has been the honorary grand marshal of the homecoming parade. Here at Penn State, and those who are Penn State graduates or are still going to Penn State up and down this valley, know who Mike the Mailman is. And on his final day after 48 years, we're going to have him on the last half hour. So as I mentioned, we're going to go from sad to the passing of George Curry. And I thank all three guests for being on with us in the previous half hour. They were tremendous. And Dave Ritchie drove in for it. We appreciate that. Jim Doyle and Joe, and it was great. Thank you so much on a sad day to give tremendous reflection and recollection of a truly great coach, great man in George Curry. And our deepest, deepest condolences to his family, to his friends, and obviously to those who love Berwick and Berwick football. Our deepest condolences to all of you. You have lost a treasure. Our play-by-play call of the day is next, and then we will talk about the Final Four and about North Carolina. Mike Lang last night. Phil Kessel is now starting to play like Phil Kessel.
Daly again with the puck. Through center to the right side of Kessel. Wrist shot, score! He beat Rene from the right wing gun like a rented mule. And the Penguins take a 2-1 lead.
In fact, they pulled Pekka Rinne last night. And Phil Kessel has, Phil Kessel suddenly has remembered he's Phil Kessel. And the timing is good. It's April. Penguins beat Nashville 5-2 last night. The Pens have won 10 of their last 11. All right, Patrick James. We had him on last week before the Sweet 16. We bring him back for the Final Four. Patrick, welcome back. Beat writer for the Daily Tar Heel who covers North Carolina basketball. This is a lousy place to shoot. The depth perception here is lousy. It seems on paper, and what do you think, that North Carolina is actually best equipped to handle it based on style of game?
Yeah, I believe so. I actually wrote a story about this today, just looking at NRG Stadium. You mentioned the shooting struggles. There have been 16 college basketball games played at NRG Stadium since it opened in, I believe, 2002. And the 32 teams that played in those games have shot 32.3% from behind the arc. And so, I mean, you mentioned that about, you know, how, you know, you look at the other three teams who are playing in this tournament still, and, you know, they're all three, you know, very, like, you know, they rely on those three. They all three rank top 60 nationally in three-point attempt percentage. And you look at UNC, you know, they rank all the way to the bottom almost, like about 337th, I think, in the country. And, you know, you look at how, you know, they always look to establish, you know, this UNC offense always looks, you know, get the ball down low to those big men, especially, you know, when you have Bryce Johnson, you know, as good as he's been all year. And you saw Kennedy Meeks kind of coming along last week in those two games against Indiana and Notre Dame. So I think because of those inside presence that UNC has, you know, they're really going to look at, you know, try to establish, you know, feed the ball down low. And Marcus Page said on Tuesday that, you know, he thinks that, you know, it might not be a huge advantage, but he thinks that there could be, you know, a little bit of an edge there. And I would have to agree with that.
Where has Bryce Johnson made his greatest strides in developing the game that we see today?
I think the big thing is that, you know, you're seeing that kind of consistent motor really all the time. I wouldn't say necessarily that, you know, the talent itself wasn't there. I think, you know, throughout the past 3 years, you know, leading up to this season, you really saw, you know, some of the offensive potential that he had, you know, his ability, you know, to make the shot, you know, off the elbow, you know, kind of be able to make those 15-footers away from the basket. But I think this year, you know, you're seeing him, you know, work a little bit harder down low in the post to get open and be able to get some of those touches. You know, you're seeing him go to the free throw line a lot more. And you know, this year, you know, he's been a pretty decent free throw shooter for this team, I believe around 75%. And I think it's been a pretty decent increase for him from that department as well. But, you know, being able to see him, you know, constantly going, you know, at times, you know, there were over the past 3 years where you saw him, you know, kind of be a little lackadaisical almost down there in the post. But I think, you know, him kind of, you know, he said on Tuesday that when Kami Meeks went down with his knee injury in the middle of December, he said when UNC played Tulane, that's when he really started to realize, you know, I need to really step it up. Like, I need to be more of, you know, a factor on this offensive end of the floor. And I think, you know, really since that game, you look and like it's been a steady just uptick ever since then, you know, capped, you know, highlighted by that Florida State performance back in January. And so, I mean, really, you know, that extra motor that he's really shown has been huge for this team.
North Carolina is far from out of the NCAA woods. It's going to be a big month next month for them in terms of how infractions are handled. But Roy Williams has said that going to practice and coaching this team in games has been one of the great releases for him. What has allowed him, what has allowed coach and player to bond the way they've bonded that's made things easier for Roy Williams?
I would say in some senses that a lot of this team really feels like, you know, there has been kind of that, you know, cloud hanging over them over the past couple of years. And, you know, but they have been able to find some success this season. It's allowed them, you know, kind of to relax a little bit, you know, just play basketball. I would say that, you know, some of these guys, they've kind of mentioned this in interviews recently. It's become, you know, a bigger topic of conversation as we've gotten closer to the Final Four. And, you know, they really said that, you know, in the past, you know, you were always asked about that. But, you know, this season, like, you know, a lot more people, like, they're getting a lot more basketball questions. And they're able to, you know, just go out there and play the game, you know, although that does sound a little cliche. But, you know, you also have, you know, just a really loose group. And, you know, in my time here at UNC, you know, covering the team, this is, you know, by far the best the team chemistry has been. And I think that kind of, like, is really evident in terms of, you know, when you go in the locker room, you know, they're always joking around. And, you know, even in practice, I mean, last week, before the Indiana game, when they had open practice, you know, we went out there and watched Indiana practice. And, you know, they were, you know, very serious. You know, they shot, you know, going through so many three-point drills. You know, it was almost a little more militant in that regard. Yeah. Then you go and you watch UNC, and, you know, UNC's out there, and there was this one little, like, five-minute stretch where they're trying to see how many basketballs that they could fit, like, in the goal. I think they got, like, 12 basketballs, like, to pile up on this goal. And, like, that's just kind of, like, the atmosphere around this team. And yeah. I think the big guy, you know, who they really kind of, like, rally around in that regard is Theo Pinson, who, you know, if anybody paid attention to him last weekend, he's kind of all over the place.
He made the biggest play of the game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you know, he's just, you know, he's come off the bench and he's been such an energy spark plug for this team. And also, you know, he's just, you know, so goofy that, you know, he really, like, lightens up the mood around this.
Well, he showed up at the starters' press conference, didn't he?
Yeah. He thought he was looking for his spot up there on the podium.
That's good. I have no problem with that at all. This has been the year of the older player. And this tournament, this Final Four, will feature a lot of older players. Has that been actually, you talk about the chemistry of North Carolina, it's an older team. Has that really been one of the reasons why, the fact that they're older, that they have better chemistry?
I would say absolutely. And I think that, you know, that starts up top, you know, with Marcus Page and Bryce Johnson. You know, I mean, I think that they've really tried to, you know, usher that in and make sure that, you know, these guys all understand the importance of that chemistry. You know, they've kind of been through it. You know, there have been some issues in the past, you know, where you've had some guys who might not have bought in as much. Like, they've noticed that. Like, they know what it takes in that regard, you know, to have a, you know, team really, you know, so, like, intertwined and so connected. You know, it's also good, you know, you have a few, like, different, like, sections of players, you know, with the sophomores, you know. There's three sophomores on this team, and Theo Pinson, Justin Jackson, and Joel Barrett. They're all very close and, like, bring their own, like, personalities to this team. And, like, they really, you know, follow the footsteps of Marcus Page and Bryce Johnson. And so, I mean, they've kind of, you know, developed that over the years. I think that, you know, Justin Jackson was talking about the other day how, you know, once after his freshman season, he really started to understand the importance of, you know, having that tight group. In a sense, you know, I think, you know, it's really been on display so far, especially these past couple of weeks, as the teams, you know, really starting to kind of like get a major stride, you know, since the start of the ACC tournament.
And one quick note about this North Carolina basketball team before I get to the next question, which will be about Syracuse, and is this: the allegations against North Carolina extend up to 2011. There is not one current player on this team, even though they have to answer the questions. There's not one current player in this team that's implicated at all in this. This has nothing to do with the current team at all. Now, they may end up paying the price, but that's how things work in Indianapolis. Which now brings me to the matchup with Syracuse. When you watch them against Syracuse, so they played them twice this year, what were a couple of matchups that worked to Carolina's favor, and where did they struggle with Syracuse?
Well, the biggest strength I think the UNC had, I mean, obviously the second meeting between the two teams was only a 5-point game.
Yeah, that was at Chapel Hill.
Correct.
Yeah, I watched that game, yep.
Yeah, and I think what the big thing was, the difference between the two games, is that in the first game up in Syracuse, on January 9th, what UNC really did a great job of doing is, you know, bringing, you know, the postman up to the middle and really attacking the top middle of that zone. And I think in that game, Bryce Johnson had 6 or 7 assists, and that was really huge. You know, and Bryce is very, you know, that's a good thing about UNC about facing the zone, is that you have, you know, three big men who are really good passing the ball. I mean, you look at, you know, that outlet pass Kenny Meeks made to Theo Pinson, that alley-oop to Isaiah against Notre Dame on Sunday. And that was just a beautiful pass. I mean, and that's what this team's capable of doing is, you know, you have three big men who can pass the ball well. So if you bring them to the top of the zone, you know, they'll be able to look and they'll be able to find the open man. And I think that when they did play Syracuse up here in Chapel Hill, that it wasn't something that they tried to do as much. I think they were a little more hesitant. And they also, Syracuse started during that game, they started playing off up around the free throw line. Whenever a big man did come up to that area, it kind of, you know, played off a little bit. And it wasn't until about halfway through the second half when, you know, Kenny Meeks, who had a couple wide open looks earlier in the game and chose not to shoot the ball, he finally started trying to exploit that weakness. And so I think that that's, you know, kind of the area where UNC will really try to trigger in. And I think another big advantage for UNC in this game will be their height. I mean, Syracuse's right. tallest player is 6'9". And I think, you know, having those big guys down low really, you know, do some damage is going to be what's really going to be a big factor for them.
How well did Carolina defend Syracuse?
They've done a pretty good job. You know, it's kind of tough because, you know, Syracuse is, you know, I think they're 40th in the nation in 3-point attempt percentage.
Right.
You know, that's what they're really going to try to do. You know, you haven't seen them making the amount of threes, you know, they'd really like to make, you know, based on how their offense works. But, you know, what we've seen from Malachi Richardson, I think, you know, in some ways that it is a little difficult to compare the Syracuse team now to the one that they even played, you know, back at the end of February, just because, you know, you've seen Malachi Richardson really make some strides. You know, he had that 23-point performance against Virginia on Sunday. And then you also have Tyler Lyons, who's really been huge for them so far, especially here in the NCAA tournament, averaging you know, close to 11 points per game.
Leiden, let me tell you something about Leiden. Do you realize that on a team that doesn't have a shot blocker, he has 17 block shots in the last three games?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And so, I mean, like, really, you know, it's going to be big for UNC in that regard, you know, kind of to follow along with, you know, Coach Roy Williams' style of really, trying to play some big men down low and really attack the basket and be able to get him into foul trouble. I think getting him in foul trouble is going to be a really, big factor for this team. You know, you saw what they did against Providence in the second round where they were able to attack Ben Till down low in the post to get him to foul out with 7 minutes remaining. And so I think that's going to be a similar sort of approach they're going to have against him.
Well, at Tar Heel Nation, there's only one group that I think travels better. No offense, but it's probably Kentucky. It's only one that travels better with fans than North Carolina does of all the times I've been around. How excited is the area, and what kind of crowd do you expect that's on North Carolina's side in that cavernous dome?
I mean, it's been kind of crazy over here the past couple of days. I mean, Marcus Gage was talking about the other day during Tuesday's press conference. He's been walking around campus. You know, it's high fives everywhere. And, you know, one guy came running by him and had his headphones in, but as soon as he saw Marcus, he, like, ripped him out and, like, started talking to him about the game and everything. So, I mean, it's definitely, a really positive vibe around campus. There's been a lot of people, talking about the hypothetical situation, like, what if UNC wins and, rush Franklin Street on Monday night, and there's been a lot of knocking on wood over the past couple of days. But it's definitely been an exciting atmosphere. And I've been talking to several people, including many students who are looking at, driving down for the game. A few of them are taking off on Friday night, and they're driving, making the big drive down to Houston, going to the game on Saturday. They're planning on driving straight back, win or lose. That way, if UNC does win, they're here to rush Franklin Street on Monday night. That's a pretty heavy crowd from the Tar Heels on Saturday night.
Yeah. I hope you enjoy your experience. Hey, you know what? You get to cover a Final Four. Good for you. Patrick, thanks a lot for the time. Great stuff, as always. We really appreciate it. Have a good time.
Thank you very much.
Patrick James, Daily Tar Heel, covering North Carolina basketball. George Curry passed away today at the age of 71. We thank all three guests who joined us in the previous half hour. You can check it out on the Steve Jones Show podcast to get three people reminiscing about the great life and career of George Curry, lost too soon at the age of 71. Today's show is brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. As we said earlier, the show would go from sad to happy. We'll close out in the final half hour with Mike the Mailman on his final day on the job at Penn State as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Our tribute to George Curry was in the 3:35 half hour, and our thanks across the board. Joe Roebuck joining us, Jim Doyle, Dave Ritchie, all looking back on the life of the legendary George Curry, the great high school football coach who coached at Lake Lehman, Valley West, and, of course, most prominently at Berwick, where they won 6 PIAA championships, national championships. He was 3-time National Coach of the Year himself, but it was about the players and not about him. And the times I talked to him, I found him to be insightful, funny, and I had a lot of respect for him in the times that I talked to him. We said on the show that we would go from sad, the passing of a legend and a great man in George Curry, to happy, because you'd like to top off the week on a high note, and it is the retirement today of Mike the Mailman. You're like, Mike the Mailman? Well, if you mention that to anybody who has any connection at all to Penn State, they all know who Mike the Mailman is, and we've got him on the show today. We thought it would be a fun way to cap the week, even though we had a sad story to deal with. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And It's Friday. That means today's show is brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Store's really well out, really well laid out. Plenty of free parking, plenty of help to get the cases out to the car. They also have water, soda, snacks. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. And, oh, do I love the pickle bar, especially those dills and barrels. Love them. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. They're going to put extra help on hand May 4th when I stop in from the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament to stock up myself. Mike the Mailman, final half hour.
True refreshment can come in many forms. But it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show, the Friday edition, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, you're not going to get a better selection of beer. Store's really well laid out. Love how it's laid out. And there's plenty of help there to bring the cases to the car. And by the way, there's free parking for the car. You want water? Plenty of that. Soda? Plenty of that. Snacks, peanuts, roasted fresh and hot every day, and the pickle bar is just tremendous. Second to none. Love the barrels, love the dills, but those are my selections. There's a wide variety there, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And with the Final Four coming up this weekend, you need to stock up. Just want to make sure you're prepared for anything. It's going to be cold on Sunday, too, so go out now. Get ready. Drop Sean Carey's name. It'll mean nothing, but drop his name. It means a lot to his ego.
Yes, it does. Every little bit helps. We're not proud.
That all got flushed years ago,
man. It did. It did.
Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Mike the Mailman in a moment. But first, our sports bozo of the day. And this is more into the category, I feel awful for this person. His name is James Kiki. More than 3 million NCAA tournament brackets entered on the Yahoo Sports website. No one has more points than James Kiki's. He nailed early upsets. He had 7 of the Elite 8 teams correct. He has all 4 teams in the Final Four. He is tied with 2 other people for first overall with 3 games to go. The grand prize is $50,000. And James Kiki, we can tell you today, will not win. Why? Because when he turned his bracket in, there's one part that's missing. Which team would win the national championship? Kiki told Syracuse.com, I didn't even want to think about it. I just don't want to think about it. He is a South Sudanese refugee who works for a nonprofit in Syracuse. He says he's never filled out a bracket in his life and only did so because he saw he could win $50,000. But that was thwarted by Yahoo's rather odd picking system. It's actually gotten a few people. Do you realize of the top 30 people on the board right now, Sean, in the Yahoo, Kiki and 2 others, yes, 3 total, don't have the national champion?
How could they allow him to submit the bracket and, you know, try to submit? Why wouldn't like a little window pop up that says required field, finish your bracket?
It doesn't come up that way. I think it's see what happens is after seeing your 62 previous choices show up on the next line, so you just click it, they move. A bracket's final winner only appears at the very top, which is easy to miss in the blank because everything's moving toward the center. The winner's at the top. See, the winner's not in the center of the bracket. See, everything's like going down, 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 down to the middle. So that's where you're working. Well, you know, obviously the screen only goes so far. Well, he didn't. The top is where you put the winners in. He filled in the championship game score, which was required in that block. He filled it in. He just didn't put the winner in because he didn't see it. Says he forgot about the bracket. He says, I've been watching the games. I didn't really know what teams I picked, but I only realized how well I was doing when I screwed up. I was getting flooded by messages from other Yahoo users telling me how stupid I was. Okay, fine. Well, guess what? Kiki did pick North Carolina and Villanova to be in the final. He says he would have taken Villanova to win it. Now, if I'm Yahoo, and that's what happens, and he's already said he's picked Villanova to win it, I'd give him something. But that's just me. Oh, well.
They got to step up.
You'd hope. All right. We started out, we said we're going to go from sad with the passing of George Curry to happy, and that is the retirement of Mike the Mailman. 48 years at Penn State. Michael, it's great to have you with us. Thanks for jumping on board.
48 years. What took you so long?
I don't know. I couldn't pass the exit exam.
What are the emotions the last day, or is it something you think that's going to hit you Monday?
Well, you know, when I came back for lunch, there was a group of people here with all these wonderful gifts and all these wonderful greetings, and I think that's when it really hit me. I said, wow. It looks like it's for real. They gave me a rocking chair like you do after so many years.
Yeah.
So I'm rarely speechless, but I was really pretty choked up at that moment. I was like, and then it's like, well, I think it's really going to happen. So that sealed the deal for me. That right at 12 o'clock, I go, wow.
They usually give you a chair at 25 years. If you had hung on for two more, I think they would have given you a table.
Oh, yeah.
So
poor play on my part. Poor play.
Yeah, bad play. You came out of Williamsport Area Community College, and
yes.
You had an associate's degree in engineering computer science technology.
Yes. Uh-huh.
What did you want to do with that, and then what then transferred you to thinking about getting into postal work?
Well, you know, I wanted to be a computer scientist, what I did. But the only jobs at the time, back in the 60s, you got to remember that was a long time ago. Of course, I was a very young kid. The only job that was available was Eastman Kodak. And I'm just a homebody. And I said, you know, the job offers is good, but I think I want to stay home here. And so I passed that up. My dad said, well, why don't you try to get a job at the post office? So I took his advice. I got the job. I went to Penn State at night. I worked a night shift once at daytime at Penn State, and then part-time I worked here. And I, first day here, I said to my wife, I said, Katie, I found a place that I really like. And eventually, the people who worked here retired, and eventually I got to be in charge, or whatever you call that. I started working here. It was just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It has been ever since. I mean,
that's the amazing part of it, because you first came here to State College in what would be Joe Paterno's third season, 1968, for goodness sakes.
In fact, I remember I was sitting beside Rip Engel at the barbershop down on Allen Street. And I said, hey, Rip, how you doing? Said, good, how you doing? That's like unbelievable. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. And it's still a lot of fun. And, Actually, I just got a call from the Postmaster General. I thought it was a prank, but she said, I'm really the Postmaster General.
Well, it's April 1st, Mike. You picked the day where it's possible to be pranked.
I know. Anything could happen. A lot of people still think that it's a joke. The guy in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette kept calling me and saying, Mike, are you sure? Because he said, my reputation is on the line here. If this is an April Fool joke, I'm done. I said, no, you're good. You know, that was funny.
What do you want to do? What do you want to do? You want to? I think when I saw you out in Las Vegas, we talked briefly. I think you said you wanted to travel, right?
Well, I really eventually will get to all the away football and basketball games. And all the wrestling matches. That's what I really want to do.
That's great.
I really, you know, my favorite sport is definitely wrestling. I mean, mm-hmm. I go way back with wrestling, and it's just a lot of. And I have a couple guys who are going to nearly retire, and we're gonna just take a little RV and just go to these games, see what the other campuses are like, other communities are like. It should be fun, and most of the other time I'll be home doing some things at home. But my wife and I have a give and take. You go and I go and she goes, and you know how that works.
Right, exactly. It's fascinating. What other places have you been? Because this is, you know, this is a job. It's a, you know, every single day. I mean, 5 days, 6 days a week, whatever, you got to be out there working. How much traveling have you? I mean, I saw you in Las Vegas, which I thought was great to see you out because you're at Orleans Arena with John Neese and the gang. But how much traveling have you had a chance to do?
Not a lot. You know, we go see our daughter in Art down around Philadelphia, and we've been to some games in the Philadelphia area, but not a lot. I have not done a lot of traveling. I really am a homebody, but given the opportunity of a Penn State sporting event, you count me in. I love doing this. So it will be a new adventure for me to see all these different campuses, which I want to do.
Well, but what we'd like to do at some point, once you get a chance to see all of them, we'd love to get you back on and get your evaluation of each and the arenas, too.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Because I think that would be a lot of fun just to get someone's perspective seeing things for the first time.
Yeah, that's good. I will do that. Definitely do that.
And, and when it gets to Illinois, just do it a Cliff Notes thing and we'll just move quickly. All right. all right, so that's what you want to do. One thing that you've done, it's Joe Paterno always said, look, make an impact. Now, you can impact a life. You can impact a couple of lives, your wife, children, whatever. But there's so many people that say you had an impact on them.
You know, and it's funny you say it because I wasn't aware of that at the time that I'm doing it because I'm just who I am. I'm just me being myself. But since it's been announced like 3 or 4 weeks ago that I was retiring, the people have come back and told me like first time they met me or the first time they mailed something, it's been so humbling. I'm like, wow, I didn't know at the time what I was doing, but I was just being me, and I'm just overwhelmed by all this.
Where'd the sense of humor and the work ethic come from? Is that from your parents?
Yeah, but mostly my mother.
Your mom? Okay.
She lived to be 94 years old.
Oh, God bless her.
She kept saying, I think God forgot about me. She was great. I'll tell you.
So what was it about her sense of humor and that customer service part that I think every single worker in this country could take a little lesson from you on what customer service means?
But, a lot of these young kids are coming in the post office for the first time, and I can remember when I went away to school for the first time. I was petrified, and these kids are here, and I could see it in their eyes that, wow, what do I do here? And I just sort of took them under my wing and said, hey, this is not as bad as you think it is. And they responded very well. We've had a lot of fun with these kids, and I think the kids have said, wow, this guy, he's taking care of us. And that's what I want. And a lot of international kids, I've taken care of them because I can't imagine doing what they're doing in another country. I cannot imagine being in a China or Japan or wherever and doing what they're doing, and I just help them out. And I know I'm their first contact with a U.S. government official, sort of government official, and when I go downtown and they see me, they're so happy to see me. It's like, it makes me feel good being this way. You know what I'm saying? It makes my heart feel good when these kids are happy, and that's what I'm trying to do, make everyone happy.
Who gave you the nickname Mike the Mailman?
Well, a long time ago, someone said, someone asked you about, what do you call it, Mike the Clerk? I said, that doesn't have a really good ring. Why don't we call it Mike the Mailman? It's a lot, even though I'm not a mailman. I mean, the guys who work downtown have accepted the fact that I'm not really a mailman, but I can use their name.
Right.
but it must have been like 38 years ago, someone said, if someone brought me a stamp, it said Mike the Mailman, a rubber stamp. So from now on, you're going to be Mike the Mailman. He handed it to me, and ever since, I've been Mike the Mailman.
What does it feel like for you? How humbling has it been for you, for example, that you're introduced at various functions now, Thon in particular? I mean, could you ever have imagined that and the response that you get?
Not even close. I mean, it's funny. We took our daughter, Michaela, up to Boston to go to grad school, mm-hmm. and we went into the Cheers bar for just to look around because you hear about it. And people are always taking pictures.
The Bull and Finch.
Yeah. Yep. So we come out of the Cheers bar, and there's like people are still taking pictures. One guy came up to me and said, excuse me, sir. He said, we all graduated from Penn State in 1993. Are you Mike the Mailman? I said, yeah. It's like, it's just like when I was in Las Vegas, there's like 18 gazillion people knew me. The guys are with me. They expect that now. I always don't, but I'm always surprised. There's been so many Penn Staters I've talked to, and people come back, homecoming, whenever they come back, just to say hi. And they're always happy I'm here because everything else at Penn State is changing, but I'm still here. Now, I'm not sure what they're going to do now, but I don't know.
Okay, Mike the Mailman, have they sent you any notes or letters in the past week congratulating you on this?
Oh, yeah, they have, yes. And actually, Dr. Barron came in today to bring me a proclamation, and he brought me some cookies, which are great cookies. And I didn't even let him wait in line. I haven't come right to the front.
Oh, very nice. Well done. That to be even to the end, understanding where the bread is buttered.
Actually, right.
That is really good. That's really good. Mike, was there ever any point where, you know, look, it's 48 years. Any point where you said, you know, maybe I'll look a little bit just to kind of see, you know, what else is out there? Or that temptation never came up?
No. You know, every day, I mean, I walk into the store and I say to myself, it's showtime. So, you know, I go out there and it's not, I don't consider this a job. I mean, I've had too much fun. I mean, people like what I do, but I also like what I do. I mean, I've told the same joke for 40 plus years. It's funny to me. I mean, it might not be, but the freshman is like, oh, that's really funny, but I've told it many, many, many times, and it never gets old for me, but it's a lot of fun.
Honorary homecoming parade grand marshal.
Yeah.
And also, at one point, you served as the barista at Starbucks.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so how did that go? Because this is not just handing out a stamp, pal.
No, I know. That's the funny thing. I've never had a cup of coffee in my life.
Really?
Ever. My wife's just said,
What time do you get to work? Do you get to work, what, 6 in the morning?
Something like this. 6:03, yep. Yep. 6:03. But I don't know. But it was fun doing the coffee. I learned how to make that. It was a riot. That's a tough job. That's a real job. What I have is, I call it an adventure. It's not a job. It's a good time.
What was the toughest thing they had you make?
Something with the mocha. Is there a mocha or something like that?
Yes.
Mocha cream, something.
Yes.
Like that. Combination. I don't know. I don't know any coffee terms, but it was tough. But there was a guy guiding me along, but it was fun.
A barista.
A barista.
God,
wow.
That's great. When you look back on all of this, you know, what kind? I mean, could you have envisioned the kind of life that you've had and the acceptance in the community that you've had?
Oh, no, not a chance. I come here every day and do what I do and not think much of it. I enjoy it so much. And I've never had, you know, even one day, I can remember one time, this is a true story. I came in on a Monday, Veterans Day. I didn't know that it was a holiday. And when they found out downtown, I had been harassed for that for years. And I came to work when I was supposed to go. Because when I had a partner, I said, Teddy, where are you? He said, Mike, it's a holiday. I said, oh, my heavens. I mean, that's a guy who really likes to go to his job.
Yeah.
But,
Mike, no matter what, everybody's going to have ups and downs in life. Have there been some times where your personality comes out, the one-liner comes out, and you've always had the ability to do that and make the person on the other side of the counter feel better. Have there been some tough times where even you had to kind of like work yourself to that?
Well, for a customer, yes, I've done it. But for myself, I have really been blessed with first of all, great parents and great sisters and my family. I'm a lucky guy. And then when I go to the dance marathon and see these kids who are fighting for their lives, I mean, I don't know how anyone could ever be down. I mean, and I try to tell that to people that this is a good time. Make the best of it. I've been very fortunate. I've never had a down. Never had a bad day. I'm really lucky.
Well, I hope you have a bunch of great days coming up, and I hope you enjoy traveling all over the country and that we run into each other often as time goes. Mike, you are a treasure. You're a blessing, and everybody really appreciates everything you've done for 48 years here. Wow. The impact you've had is something that I think few could ever envision, but you're the one that made it happen. Thank you for everything.
I appreciate that, Steve. Thank you very much.
Mike Herr, Mike the Mailman, on his final day after 48 years at Penn State. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Well, we went from sad to happy on the show today as we started out with Joe Roebuck and Dave Ritchie and Jim Doyle, and all three of them reminiscing on the great career, life, the impact of George Curry, who passed away today at the age of 71. Six PIAA, AAA championships, national championships. He was the three-time National Coach of the Year. And the lives that he impacted, countless. And in the end, probably millions of dollars in scholarships going to the athletes that he coached along the way that changed their lives. George Curry was just 71 years old. We did touch in the Final Four today with the beat writer for the University of North Carolina, Patrick James, and we closed out on the happy note today. 48 years, someone else who made an impact but didn't do it as a coach, did it as someone standing behind the counter as a mailman. Mike Herr, a.k.a. Mike the Mailman, 48 years, retiring today. As he said, he got a call from the Postmaster General to thank him for everything he's done. And he says he thought it was a joke because it's April 1st. They said, no, you're retiring. And the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, of course, wrote a really great article about Mike today. And the writer said, look, I know it's April 1st. He said, my reputation's on the line here. Okay, you are retiring, right? He says, yeah, I am. So you can impact people in a lot of different ways, Sean. It doesn't just have to be as a coach. It doesn't have to be as a government leader. You know, you can impact people, as Mike shows, in a wide variety of ways. I don't care if you're behind the counter someplace. If you take the extra step and go the extra mile for somebody, and you treat them as if they're special, you've made your impact. You've changed somebody's day. George Curry did that for decades. Mike the Mailman did that for nearly five decades. They just did it in their own style, their own way, in a wide variety of ways. George unfortunately passed away this morning at the age of 71. Mike goes into a happy retirement after 48 years. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio.